All right, time to do another movie review. This time we're going back to kind of our more bread and butter stuff, movies we remembered from our childhoods, yeah, things of that nature. Because we did a web series last week and really just one person bitched, I think.
Yeah, we're not restricted to the 70s. You know, if we want to come into the modern era, we're going to do that too. It's yeah. Just, we're going to do it across the board.
I kind of like being idiosyncratic because right. We like a lot of different things. So, I like different things than you like and vice yeah. versa. So I think it's kind of cool to just kind of do whatever.
Yeah, and we're trying to point out cool flicks. Ones that influenced other movies or ones that we liked when we were young or ones that we liked right now. We saw a really good horror movie on Netflix last night. What was that called?
Welcome to Willits.
Welcome to Willits. Yeah,
kind of a horror comedy.
Yeah.
And it's not as zany as one that, Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which I love, right. By the way. But this one was a little more subtle, but actually I really, really enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, and it had a lot of old school throwbacks, practical effects, good writing, not PC at all, tons of drug use. That's really what the movie was about a guy who whipped up this weird batch of meth that put you in contact with aliens. You just got to see it.
Or
right?
So he thought, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I actually do really recommend that movie because we watch that. We kind of, every now and then, we get a bee in our bonnet to do let's do a horror movie double feature on Netflix and we'll just pick ones at random. So we watched that one, which we really liked. And the other one we watched was a Japanese one called Tag.
Yeah.
Which weird. Actually, I really like it. It's strange. It was a very strange movie.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's based on a novel, and they've made it was a hugely successful novel in Japan. And yeah. I haven't read it, but they made a 5-movie series out of that same novel over there too, yeah. Separate to this one. I liked it in the sense that it was kind of this weird, surreal art film, but then also it was super over the top, hilariously gory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it very much.
But today we're gonna do The Black Hole.
Yes.
Which is a Disney classic. It was a classic for me. I saw it when it came out. I was 10 years old.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater also.
It was the same year that Alien came out.
Yeah.
And the same year that Star Trek, a motion picture came out.
Yep, that's right.
And
1979.
Yeah, this one was critically panned, but critics in those days basically panned every sci-fi movie. They just hated sci-fi. They liked art films, though.
Well, they still do. And I'm not going to shit on them for that because a lot of art films are really good, but some popular movies are good too.
Right.
You just kind of have to come out with an open mind. I don't really like to make a distinction this is a big blockbuster mainstream movie because some of those are good.
Yeah.
I tend not to like that kind of thing, but you never know. I've seen ones I've enjoyed.
I remember when I went to go see this movie in the theater though, my mom took me and the theater was almost dead.
Yeah.
This was in California in the LA area. I don't remember which theater it was. It wasn't Man's Chinese, but it was in that area. And they had a huge opening. They had a big wooden model of the Cygnus. Is it Cygnus or Cygnus?
Cygnus.
The Cygnus is the name of the ship. The ship, the story centers around this spaceship that looks like an aircraft carrier and...
The Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks
like. It's really one of the coolest spaceships in any sci-fi movie.
Right.
Ever. Because it doesn't really look like a spaceship.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm not sure I'd really call this a sci-fi movie.
I would not.
More like a gothic horror movie, kind of in the style of Dracula and Frankenstein. It has a lot of gothic horror elements to it. It just happens to be in space.
It's kind of like, and I've seen a couple of people make this comparison, it's kind of like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea in space. And it also has Maximilian Schell in it, who played Captain Nemo, and he's kind of playing the same type of character in this.
Right, and you can tell that the writing and execution was kind of done by older guys. In other words, guys in their 50s and maybe 60s in the Disney studio system, because I felt a lot of Forbidden Planet in this also.
Yeah.
In the way that the dialogue was.
And know what else? Fantasia.
And Fantasia.
The end of it was very Night on Bald Mountain.
Right.
Very Night on Bald Mountain. The imagery.
Some people have kind of panned it for having kind of religious overtones. But no, that's just part of this movie. They're kind of drawing a connection between a black hole and a black hole being kind of like a hellish force of destruction. And then this very evil man has stolen this ship and basically sacrificed his crew for his own hubris, for his own ambitions to go through a black hole and be remembered as the greatest human scientist, in all of creation. He even made this new power source that could have saved the earth and fueled the entire earth. There's a lot of weird subtext. And in the end, he pays for his hubris. I think they were kind of making a, kind of a metaphor for like a Faustian contract.
Oh, definitely, with the devil,
yeah. Basically, is going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I always found interesting about this movie, and it's weird because we kind of just yesterday when we were out for our walk, and I was like, man, we need another movie to do. What should we do? And we couldn't really think of one because we have some like on the docket. And I was like, oh, I'm not really in the mood for that. I'm not really in the mood for that. And then for some reason, we started talking about the black hole.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, you know what? We should do that because I saw the movie when I was 7 when it came out in the theater. I remember being kind of excited to see it because it looked like it would be scary, which I've been into scary shit since birth, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I was like excited because I thought it would be scary, but it didn't make a big impression on me.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen it since then. Literally the only thing I remembered about the movie was that there was a red robot named Maximilian.
Yeah.
I didn't really even remember what it looked like. And that iconic shot of that fireball coming up the thing with the little silhouettes of the people running across. That was literally all I remembered about.
Yeah, and you know
I didn't remember what it was about. I didn't remember anything.
And I think that meteor coming down through the hull of the ship and them running across. I actually think that that was the inspiration for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, I think it
running
was
from
too.
The ball.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely think
it was. It was a cool shot. I mean, totally implausible. In space.
Well, yeah, but that's one of those things. And like
that's
I said,
yeah,
I looked it up. Evidently, Neil deGrasse Tyson is called the black hole, like the least scientifically accurate sci-fi
this
movie
was
ever.
79.
But yeah, one, it was 1979. Two, I kind of feel like, yeah, it was a sci-fi movie in the sense that it was set in space and it was about a black hole.
Yeah.
But
that's not what they were
it
doing.
It really,
though.
That really doesn't seem like what they were shooting for.
No.
It seemed more like they really wanted to do a riff on 2001, I felt like.
Yeah.
Because it had like a lot of heavy philosophical type of stuff going on. It was like, it was very slow moving. It was very, now one thing that I had forgotten about it, that when we watched it again last night, was it is visually beautiful.
Yeah, it looks and sounds really good.
It looks fantastic. And I didn't remember it looking that awesome.
Now, when you go online and you look at YouTube, you will see cuts from this movie. That's not the movie we saw. We got the HD version. We rented it on YouTube.
YouTube, yeah.
And it looks fantastic. Some of the transfers you're seeing on YouTube look really, really bad. And that's not the way it looks when you rent this movie. For $3.99, you can rent it.
Yeah.
There is no DVD, or there is
there's
no Blu-ray.
There's a DVD.
There's
of
a
it,
DVD,
but
it's but rare.
Not a Blu-ray. Yeah.
There's not a Blu-ray. This could really use a Blu-ray release.
Because the interesting thing about it is that, and I kind of want to get into this too in a minute, is that Disney, they kind of almost didn't really want to release the DVD of it because it's not one of their better remembered movies. It was panned and stuff. So they actually gave the rights to release it on DVD to Anchor Bay, who, you know, anybody that's super into cult films and stuff like that will know who Anchor Bay is. They release most of Lucio Fulci's movies and things of that nature. So they actually released The Black Hole and then Disney put it out on their own DVD later.
Yeah.
But so far, they have not really seen fit to release it on Blu-ray, which is kind of a shame because this is a movie where I think the visuals are easily the best thing about
it. Yeah, it's a very pretty movie. When you see it in HD, it's very pretty. Space is kind of blue. It's bluish.
Yeah.
There's a lot of colors. The interior shots look good. Special effects and the model work was really good.
Yeah.
Now I've seen, like I said, different transfers on YouTube that don't look anywhere as good. It looks terrible. That's not the movie we saw. And they were complaining that you could see wires and like the robots hanging from. I didn't notice any wires.
I didn't notice any wires either.
And they were saying how bad the matte shots were. And not last night. The matte shots looked great.
You can see tiny bit of the green screen like around the characters and stuff. But it wasn't so bad as to be distracting. And really, I liked visually the best thing about this movie. One, I liked that in the background, because you know most sci-fi movies, it's like the background is just black.
Yeah.
You know, or every now and then you'll see a planet over there. This was like a huge blue star field. It was like billions and billions of stars. And I'll let Carl Sagan just then.
Yeah.
But it was just this gorgeous backdrop.
And the black hole was like this swirling vortex of blue gas.
It was just beautiful. I know that's not really what a black hole looks like.
Yeah.
But, you know, it looked beautiful in the movie. The ship, the Cygnus, is awesome. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous design, especially when it all lights up at the beginning.
Yeah, it's lit up because it's got greenhouses inside the fuselage and power centers, and then there's like scaffolding all around it that looks like the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And,
that's beautiful.
It was a 12-foot model in real life, and it looked really well done.
Yeah.
It was very unique.
Yeah.
You know, some people say, well, it's a Star Wars ripoff. They were working on this actually in the early 70s with the story. It wasn't really a Star Wars
I think rip-off. They added some
they
things.
They added elements.
Elements when Star Wars was so successful. But this, this was a project that went back to the early 70s that they had been.
Yeah, and it's not. This is not something that you would really compare against, say, Star Trek The Motion Picture or Alien, because the people hadn't really seen those movies yet.
Yeah.
They hadn't really influenced the scene. And realism was not what they were going for in science fiction in certain generations. Like, Star Wars was not realistic. That's not science. That's not science fiction.
No.
It's more like fantasy.
That's a fantasy.
And it's and there's elements of Western movie in A New Hope.
Yeah, so I'm going to say, like, if people are going to bitch about how scientifically inaccurate the black hole is, then you should be able to, you should also bitch about Star Wars
and certain elements
of
Star Trek.
But like I said, sci-fi, there's a difference between hard sci-fi and science-based or science fiction-based fantasy.
Yeah.
Or like the black hole, like we said, we'd consider it, I'd consider it more a gothic horror
movie, fantasy,
like a haunted house in space type
haunted
of movie.
Haunted house in space, derelict ghost ship in space.
Yeah, it's more that kind of thing.
And the bad guy, really, if you look at him, he's portrayed, and there's a lot of visual cues, he's like a vampire in his castle who's made like a satanic robot army with basically the undead serving him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of elements like that in, here.
It's definitely way more a horror movie, I feel like. And the interesting thing, too, and the other thing I was going to say, like, about the visuals, I love the main control room where Maximilian Schell's character is, where all of the walls of, like, the buttons and lights and everything like that just look like stained glass windows.
Yeah, yeah.
That it is so awesome.
Yeah,
it is a beautiful, beautiful movie.
Rented in HD. It's only $3.99. It's really worth the extra dollar because the visuals are really good. It's a really fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
And don't overanalyze things. Just go with the flow and realize that you're watching kind of like Vampire Dracula in his space castle with his army of zombies and demons.
Yeah.
Think along that lines. And the ending is, I don't want to spoil everything, but, well, a lot of people have seen this movie.
Yeah,
so maybe some of them
right.
might need an explanation. It kind of has an infamous ending where they go through the black hole and it goes into a scene a lot like 2001, what they call it, the Stargate scene, where it's like they're pulled to another universe and they're spinning and they're hearing voices in their heads. Then it zooms in. One of the crew members is a psychic. And it zooms
inexplicably.
It zooms into her eyeball, and she has a vision of heaven and hell. And there's a hellish vision where the bad guy merges with his satanic robot. And he's in the bowels of hell, accompanied with his army of zombie minions.
That's the part that reminds me of Fantasia.
It's a lot like Fantasia. And then she's kind of escorted out of hell by an angelic figure, and then they're on the other side. I interpreted it kind of like you're seeing her psychic vision and her near-death experience as they went through the black hole. You saw that the evildoer was punished, but they made it through the other side. There was a novelization of the movie that characterized it more in a way where her psychic abilities, she saw that the bad guy was basically punished for his sins type of thing, just like in a gothic horror novel, and that she used her psychic abilities to save the rest of the crew from losing their minds.
Yeah, that's right. I saw somebody mention that, yeah.
Right, so that was an alternate view of it. But don't take the ending too seriously. It was going to continue on. They actually made a comic book, but they never resolved the issue where it was going to be called, I think it was called The Other Side of the Black Hole. I don't remember exactly what the name of the comic book was. But they were going to go on some adventures in the new universe.
Which was kind of implied at the end of this one, a little bit.
A little bit. So you're not talking about Star Trek or Star Wars. You're talking about Flash Gordon. That's the way Flash Gordon started. They went through the Imperial Vortex and come out in a new universe. And that's how Flash Gordon starts. Now that was kind of the generation of writers that wrote this movie. Very Flash Gordon. There's even a scene where to get to a spaceship that they need to escape the Cygnus in, they actually go walk out into space.
Out into space. On right near the accretion disk of a black hole.
Yeah, as the ship is breaking apart. Now, one of the stories is that originally that they had spacesuits made. And the actors didn't want to wear the spacesuits. They didn't like them. And the director went, okay, we'll just film it without it. Because you got to remember, there was still a lot of Flash Gordon-style thinking in the upper management of these things. And the audiences of the 1970s weren't real sci-fi fans. You were a dork if you liked sci-fi back then.
Yeah, I remember that.
Sci-fi was not taken seriously. It was a fantasy-type genre. And you could get away with a lot more back then. And you didn't have audiences that were hypercritical of things. They didn't pick apart special effects. They just, oh, that was cool. Yeah, pass me that joint.
Yeah,
that was
the way they were. You know? Pretty much.
That was pretty much the way it was. It wasn't
a lot more freewheeling.
It wasn't taken seriously. Yeah. But I liked the movie. It was interesting to watch. It was a lot better than I remembered it.
It actually was. And like I said, I distinctly remember seeing it in the theater. I had only remembered like two things about it. So that's why, like I said, I'm curious to see it, you know, 30 odd years later and see, because I literally remembered nothing about it. But the more I've been reading about it, like as research and the more I saw it and stuff like that, I was like, you know, when I was a kid, I remember that we had a record album of The Black Hole. I don't know if it was the soundtrack or if it was that read-along
it had really
thing
good music.
Where it told you the, you know, it told you the story and it came with the book so you could like read along with it. It might have been that. I can't remember. But it's just weird because there are a lot of movies that came out around that time when I was a kid that made a much bigger impression than this one did. And I'm not sure why this one didn't, because
other movies came out after this.
And
Empire Strikes Back wasn't too far
because
away.
This seems like something that really would have been like right up my alley. And like I said, I wanted to see it when we went to see it in the theater because it looked scary. And I loved scary stuff.
I liked it. I liked it as a kid. I didn't like it as much as Star Wars. And there wasn't very good merchandising for it.
Yeah, there was a lot of toys.
I had a model of Vincent the robot, and I had a couple of little figurines of Vincent the robot. I even had the little Maximilian robot.
Okay, yeah.
But there wasn't enough. It wasn't like Star Wars where you could buy a whole bunch of it, you know. And they shoehorned a bunch of laser gunfights in there, you know, and you know that they were trying to compete with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Actually, had they cut a lot of those laser gunfights and cut, say, like the gunfight scene at the range between the robots, had they cut that out of there, that movie would have been a lot more serious and a lot darker.
That does seem like a thing that they just... Now, some people are going to argue that the whole entire point of the robots of Vincent and Old Bob, which were actually voiced by uncredited Roddy McDowall and Slim Pickens.
Yeah, and they do an awesome job. I really like those characters.
I do too.
It's an all-star cast.
You can tell they stuck them in there for kids.
Yeah.
But I didn't really mind them. And I kind of liked how bitchy Roddy McDowall's robot was. Yeah. Like all the little snarky comments
he made. Some people really panned the movie for the cute robots.
Yeah.
I liked them. And on second viewing, they were the highlight. They were the best characters, actually, in the film.
Well, yeah, because the human characters weren't really that interesting.
No, they were kind of boring.
They were kind of boring.
The bad guys, the evil robot, and the two cute robots.
Yeah.
They were the heroes.
I mean, Maximilian Schell was easily the best human character because he just went for it and just chewed the fucking scenery like crazy.
Yeah.
And I respect that. I love that. Because he could have phoned that shit in.
Yeah.
He did not.
No.
I'm going on full-on evil, man. And he had the big hair and he was all crazy and shit. You know, the other characters, like Anthony Perkins is in this.
Kind of deadpan.
Very deadpan. Also, I didn't really buy that Anthony Perkins would arrive on the ship and then immediately be like, I'm going to go along with this clearly crazy person into a black hole.
You got to remember that, you know, he was well known for the movie Psycho.
Yeah.
So I think they were inferring that he was a little fucking crazy.
That he was crazy too.
Right, yeah, he was a little bit crazy too.
And that didn't really come across though.
And there was some other shit that I picked up when I was a kid that still kind of sticks with me. A lot of people were mad that the psychic woman had an ESP or a psychic link to that robot.
Yeah.
That she could communicate with that robot psychically. People are like, wait a minute, how can you do that? Well, what I had thought at the time as a kid is that they were inferring that that robot had a soul. And that's starting to come into some of the new sci-fi now that, you know, that AI is so good. Is it alive? Is this a real creature? And you know, him and Bob, the other one of his kind, were saying to each other, we're the best. And they knew about death.
Yeah.
And Vincent's giving words of wisdom and, you know, quoting, you know, old, what do you call them? Parables.
Yeah.
Giving old parables. So I thought that what they were trying to say is that Bob and Vincent had souls.
Well, you know, one of the human characters near the very beginning, you remember when Vincent gets sent out to fix the part of the ship and he has to go outside and fix it? And, you know, the other guy on the crew is like, oh, I got to go out there and get him. He's in trouble. He said something about the robot being...
What if he was one of us?
One of us, and he says he is one of us.
Right.
So,
and then you have the bad guy. His name is Maximilian Schell. His, in real life.
Yeah.
His evil robot's named Maximilian.
Yeah.
In the end, they join.
Yeah.
That robot was evil. It was like this satanic robot that murdered people. And you didn't even need to command him to do it. And he didn't speak.
Yeah.
So were they trying to say that, that evil robot is really evil, that it is a living sentient creature and it's evil? Because in the end, you know, then the little in the hell scene, they merge into one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like his punishment. And I was thinking that the doctor, what's his name? Dr. Hans Zarkov? Was it? What was it? I forgot the name of the bad guy's last name. His first name was Hans, Maximilian Schell's character. He did all the talking, but his evil robot didn't say anything. And robots could talk.
Yeah.
But not his robots.
Not his robot.
And not his army of zombies. They couldn't talk. He did all the talking.
And, well,
because he was all just about his own ego.
I should note, too, that sometimes the robot did stuff without Hans's authorization.
And he knew what the robot wanted, like they had a telepathic link also. Because remember, he says, oh, you have a telepathic link with that robot. And he goes, amazing, interesting. But that evil robot, Max, came to him. And just in, they look at each other and he goes, oh, okay, it's ready. The ship's ready. How did he know that?
Right.
Did he have a psychic link with this evil robot
also?
That's
what I thought was kind of odd, because it's like, why was he so amazed by her psychic link with Vincent if he had one with Maximilian?
Yeah.
Was Maximilian him?
Either that, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
He had made kind of like a
His id.
His id. Kind of like a Frankenstein mechanical id version of himself. And in his ballroom where he feeds them all, he's wearing a Dracula medallion around his
neck. A very swanky red suit.
Yes, red suit, and it's a gothic. It's the dining room of a gothic castle.
Yeah, it's all chandeliers and shit. It's very old school.
Yeah, but it's in a spaceship. Quite cool.
Yeah.
It's quite cool. The movie's got a very dark ambience to it. It's got a really good feel. You can't overthink it. You just watch it and kind of take it as a old Star Trek episode like Cat's Paw or. Like a gothic horror movie like Dracula or Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Something
except
like that.
Set in space with a little bit.
Yeah.
I think actually
crossbred with Forbidden Planet.
Yeah. Actually, I think your comparison with that Star Trek episode Cat's Paw, which actually, and I think I commented this on our Star Trek Continues video, I have a soft spot for pretty much any original Star Trek episode that was like written by Robert Block.
Yeah.
He also wrote Psycho, if you don't know, and was kind of horror movie based. So I love Cat's Paw. I know a lot of people don't like that one, but I really like it.
Yeah, it reminds me of
like
that.
And I liked the Jack the Ripper one, too.
And that was from that generation.
Yeah.
So that's why that movie came out that way. The movie was a little bit of a throwback even in 79.
Even in 1979, it was.
And a lot of audiences didn't like it. I liked it. As a kid, I liked
it. Yeah. And actually, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would when I saw it again.
It looks a lot better than I remember.
The interesting thing about this, and maybe people that are listening and are younger than us might not remember, because Disney nowadays, they're much more known for their, you know, quality animated films and stuff like that. But that didn't really come about until maybe the late 80s or 90s with their big, you know, Aladdin, The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast and stuff like that. But you have to think that when The Black Hole came out,
Disney was shit then.
They hadn't had a successful animated film since The Jungle Book, which came out in 1967.
And they had shitty movies like Herbie the Love Bug and
all these then they made a lot of live action ones like The Cat from Outer Space and stuff like that, which I also saw when I was a kid. So
this was the beginning of Disney rebooting itself.
They wanted to go more darker, like in a more adult-oriented direction, which eventually they did, because eventually they ended up buying Miramax Films and they kind of branched out into other, you know, they had other companies under which they could put out movies that they didn't necessarily want to put the Disney name on it. But that's what I find in the whole Disney film history. I find this period really interesting because they put out a lot of not so great movies. I mean, but then they had ones like The Black Hole, The Black Cauldron.
Yeah, both of those movies vanished from Disney's
stuff
memory.
Like that, which didn't do very well.
Yeah.
But I admire that they were willing to go in a darker direction.
Right.
Because some of the stuff in The Black Hole or The Black Cauldron is scary or batshit.
Right.
And I think that's cool that they actually did that.
Yeah.
You know, where the, because it seemed like the 70s were such an experimental time in film, yeah. and you could kind of get away with doing some crazy shit in yeah. movies. And you could put scary shit in kids' movies, which not just Disney did, everybody was doing that yeah. shit. And yeah, I feel like
PG didn't mean the same thing back then yeah. as it means now.
I mean, I feel like a lot of kids, and I saw this on, because I was reading an article about the black hole that was written by somebody the same age as me, and there were a lot of comments after it from people that were also the same age that remembered seeing it when they were a kid, and they remembered a lot of things about this movie that scared the shit out of them, like yeah. Maximilian, like Anthony Perkins taking the mask off that one.
Yeah, don't spoil that.
Yeah, and doing that. Like, yeah. a lot of people were wigged out by that.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of...
And they tried to lobotomize the psychic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of kind of dark shit in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
It kind of reminded me about how in the late 70s, early 80s, there were a lot of movies that were ostensibly marketed toward children,
yeah.
like Watership Down, for example,
right.
that were actually, if you see them now, are like horrifying.
Right.
And it's like they would never make that for a kid nowadays.
In terms of space movies at the time that this came out, you got to remember that from, you know, from our point of view, what we knew was 2001, and we knew about Star Wars, maybe Silent Running.
Yeah.
That was about it, you know. Oh, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
So this...
Although that was a little bit later, wasn't it? Was that 81, I want to say?
No, it was earlier. I believe that was maybe 78 or something.
Oh, okay. Maybe you're right.
I think it might have been, because I think Close Encounters was out by then. I remember it.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was 78.
And, you know, Star Trek, the motion picture, I think maybe had just come out a few months before this.
It came out right around the same time as the Black Hole.
Like, Alien had not come out yet, no. I don't think. Because Alien was mind-blowing, and that changed the game that year.
Yeah.
From then on out, sci-fi had to be more realistic. You couldn't be running around in space on the outside of your ship anymore.
And breathing and shit.
Yeah, and breathing in a cloud of black hole dust, and red just, black hole dust.
Yeah, and also just like kind of parked outside of a black hole without yeah. anything bad happening.
Well, you know, the ship was in an anti-gravity field being generated by this generator inside the ship that... made so much power it could fuel the entire Earth.
Yeah.
And he wasn't interested in sharing any of this technology with the rest of Earth. He flim-flammed a whole nation to build that spaceship, you know what I mean? And then yeah. stole it.
Yeah.
And got rid of the crew and then developed technology on it and was going to go through this black hole without even telling anybody about it, basically.
You know? Yeah, that's pretty much what his plan was.
Oh, yeah, he had a big ego.
Yeah.
And everybody says, oh, don't you want to go back and get all the fame? He goes, no, I don't care about that anymore. I don't care about you people. Basically, the dialogue's a little wooden. You know, you could tell yeah. it was written by an older generation. You know, it wouldn't really, but it still kind of flies in the way that Dracula could fly.
Yeah,
and that, you know, a Frankenstein movie can fly. You know what I mean? Where you just take it on its own terms. It was from another yeah. time.
I mean, it's paced kind of slowly and stuff yeah. like that. But visually, it's really nice. Now
you can tell that many of the scenes that involved a lot of dialogue. Those you could also do those on stage, like a stage play. You could do it that yeah. way also. That's what kind of movie we're talking about. And it's kind of weird when they'll kind of interweave some Star Wars gunfights in with that too, yeah. where it doesn't really match perfectly, but you just have to take the movie for what it is and the time in which it was made. You know, that's just
yeah,
the way
that's
things
true.
Were.
Now I read that they have been kicking around the idea of remaking this since about 2009.
Well, I did notice that it's become a cult film, and it does have some young fans.
Yeah.
There's some younger people who found it and go, man, this is quite a cool movie, because there's yeah. nothing really like this anymore.
Yeah, they don't make movies like this anymore.
No. Nowadays, a movie kind of has to make sense.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, like I said,
physics
that was,
exists
that
and things
was
like that.
Kind of the cool thing. Like, and I'm all for that, too. Like, yeah. And I understand that particularly sci-fi, fantasy, horror,
yeah.
you definitely do have to have that grounded in reality thing. Otherwise, yeah. people aren't going to come on that journey with you.
Right.
I get that. But I also like, I think the charm of a lot of the movies that came out in the 70s and why I still remember them so fondly yeah. is just because they were just like, fuck all that.
Yeah, it's just a story.
We just want to do this because it looks cool. I mean,
right,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's kind of the same thing. And I think I talked about this a little bit on my Suspiria review that I did when you weren't here. Is that, you know, the plot of the movie doesn't really make all that much sense, but they just kind of did it just because it's like, wouldn't it be cool
if
this
happened? Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, just do it.
It was kind of like, you know, the meteor shower that hits the Cygnus.
Yeah.
You look at those and you know that those aren't meteors,
yeah.
you know, but it is pretty. And, you know, what happens to the Cygnus is implausible. That anyone could survive that, or the ship itself could survive that.
Yeah.
But who gives a shit?
That's what I mean.
This is a movie.
know? Well, I don't know.
It looked cool. Yeah.
I think I have a much more like freewheeling attitude about movies. It's like, I'm not saying that I don't hate some movies, because I do, but I think I'm really willing to take a movie on its own terms.
Yeah.
Like if they just want to do something for the fuck of it and they don't even care if it's realistic or something, I'll be like, all right, I'll come with you on that.
Yeah.
As you know what I mean? I feel like I'm more than willing to give someone the benefit of the doubt in that way. Unless it's clearly done because the person is stupid and doesn't know any better.
Right.
I mean, if they made a deliberate choice, look, I know this isn't realistic, but it looks awesome, so let's do it like that. Mm. But, you know, or a deliberate visual choice.
Yeah.
Then I can roll with that. It's fine.
It's my understanding, based on things that I've heard, and, you know, don't quote me on this, but some of the irregularities in this movie happened because there were two different production teams working simultaneously. And then after the footage was shot, they kind of spliced the work of those two teams together into a movie. So it was kind of cobbled together in a way.
It does have that feel a little bit.
Yeah, because the tone is slightly irregular. It'll be kind of foreboding and dark for a while and kind of spooky. And then all of a sudden a fight breaks out and it gets kind of fun for a minute.
Yeah.
And then it gets funny for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then it goes back to being dark and foreboding. And
It is
what it is.
It does kind of feel like they wanted to make a darker, more adult-oriented movie, but then they're like, yeah, but kids. And then they're like, they kind of had to stick some more funny stuff in there.
They made a mistake. Star Wars was out by the time, you know, it had been out for 2 years.
Yeah.
They had time, all right, to think about what they were doing. When you actually analyze this story and what makes this story great, there's no way to make a sequel. Because the cool things about this story was the Cygnus, the ship.
Yeah.
The robot
and
the bad guy. Well, at the end of the movie, they're all gone. And the black hole. The black hole's gone. They went through it.
Yeah.
So where is it going to go after this? You know?
I mean,
what made this movie cool is now not there, which means you have to make an entirely different movie. You know what I mean? So the sequel wouldn't be anything like the first one. So that's kind of a risk. What they should have done is they should have made it so the Cygnus and the bad guys actually survived. And they're on the other side of the black hole, so the story could continue. They resolved the problem too quickly, I think.
Although, I feel like if they did make a sequel, okay, so you could argue that technically, Maximilian Schell's bad guy didn't really die, because he was like in the hellish dimension at the end.
You could bring him
back.
So out
you
there.
Could bring him back, but as a man-machine hybrid.
Good thing.
He'd be like super scary.
Yeah, you could probably.
And then
do
the whole thing could take place in the alternate dimension on the flip side of the black hole, because when they went through the black hole, you know, the implication, they were all kind of like, yay, new planet, blah, blah, blah. But they didn't show anything that would suggest that that was a cool dimension.
Right. Yeah.
So what if they went through the black hole and it was this horrible flip side kind of dimension?
Yeah.
And what if they were in a dimension where the Maximilian Schell, Maximilian robot, you know, creature was like in charge of it. He was like an overlord or something like that. They could totally do something like that.
Maybe the Cygnus wasn't destroyed. It's even stronger on the other side. Kind of like the mirror universe in some weird
way. Yeah, they could make it a straight up horror.
Yeah, you could probably do it that way.
You know, I'd watch that.
Yeah. Some people panned the robots, you know, like Vincent and Bob. They go, they were too cutesy. I liked them.
I did too, actually.
I think they were one of the strongest elements.
They were adorable, but like, I really did like, I particularly liked Roddy McDowell's
He's the most take on that. He's really one of the most memorable character in the movie, if you ask me, in terms of, you know, the crew of the Pegasus and the good guys. You're going to remember Vincent. The rest of the characters, they're kind of forgettable.
Yeah, they're very blah.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like. Yeah. But, you know, on the main, I'm glad that we rewatched this, because I was really curious to see, because I didn't remember anything about it, I was really curious to see what it was like, you know, seeing it now as an adult.
Right.
And actually, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought
so
it was. It was a lot different than I remembered it.
It's better than I remembered it. It was a little bit deeper than I remembered it in terms of, you know, what they were trying to tell us about, you know, a Faustian pact, you know, with the forces of evil, you know. It was a little darker than I remembered it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to see, oh, this shit sucked. Actually, I liked it a little bit better.
Yeah. See, so sometimes it's okay to revisit things from your childhood.
I can tell that it was written for a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
A 17 or 18 or 20-year-old. It was written for them. I was 10 at the time. So some of it went over my head.
Yeah, me too, probably.
I just mostly remember the robots.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably why I didn't really remember it, because I was expecting to be like super scary, and then I was like, what the hell? This is mostly just like dudes talking.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. Anyway, that'll probably wrap it up for this review of 1979's The Black Hole. Check it out if you haven't already. You know, it gets a lot of hate, but actually I quite enjoyed it. It's a cult classic. It's nice to look at anyway, even if you don't like the actual. Just watch it with the
volume. It's very atmospheric.
So remember, if you like the show, to like, share, subscribe on all your social media, share with all your friends, all that other kind of stuff. If you would like to support the show, please go to our Patreon page at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast or go to our blog, which is 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com. And there is a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account if you'd rather give a one-time donation. And that'll do it for this movie review. Look out for our next episode coming out on Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Bye.